Hari Om. Sahana Vavatu, Sahana Bhunaktu, Sahaviryankaravavahai, Tejasvinavaditamastomavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay, so Siddhan Upanayanam, Natya Shastra. Oops. I never had that happen before. Okay. Then chapter 6, mellows or rasas. Having enumerated the subjects included into the samgraha, the necessary kartika and nirukta connected with them are explained next. The eight rasas recognized in drama are as follows: conjugal, shringara; comic, hasya; pathetic, karuna; furious, raudra; heroic, vira; fearful, bhayanaka; odious, vibhatsa; and marvelous, adbhuta. These eight are the rasas named by druhina, by druhina, Brahma. Right, so in other words, you see, as you're, there'll always be this conjugal aspect, and then there's the heroic, and then from that, then you're going to have your villain, you know, the odious, and then there's going to be something marvelous, and it'll move all these. So within these eight, drama moves. It's very successful, like that.
It is like One is the main rasa conjugal, and the other one
are
the secondary
rasa. They're all secondary, yes. Yeah. So in other words, it's using conjugal as the main,
yes.
And then the secondary are all supporting that. Because which is what happens anyway,
yes.
You know, in rasa. Because the other ones you can do, but let's say you have a program that's just about parents.
Mm-hmm.
Parents and interacting on that parental platform, discussing with others about that, you know, something interacting with the kids, and that's the whole drama. Not gonna, you know, or just friends, and they just hang out together and do some stupid stuff together, and that's it, and there's no, you know, or just servant, you know, just serving. No, you have to have the conjugal. So that's the whole point. It's the main rasa. If it's there, then everything else becomes interesting. So you can have it that there's parents, but there has to be a conjugal aspect, or it can be friends, but there's a conjugal aspect, or servant, but there's a conjugal aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. The sthayi bhavas are known to be the following: love, mirth, sorrow, anger, energy, terror, disgust, and astonishment. The 33 vyavicharas are known to be the following: discouragement, weakness, apprehension, envy, intoxication, weariness, indolence, depression, anxiety, distraction, recollection, contentment, shame, inconsistency, joy, agitation, stupor, arrogance, despair. So it's interesting how they just, you know, arrogance, despair, they, you know, joy, agitation. Because that's how they move, actually, you know. Impatience, sleep, epilepsy, dreaming, awakening, indignation, dissimulation, cruelty, assurance, sickness, insanity, death, fright, and deliberation.
Death? Death? I mean, they're kind of temporary.
Yeah, after death, then you get a little bit frightful, and then after that, then you deliberate about that. Man, that was not good. Right? Death, then, well, it means you can have the aspect of death. But the point is generally we see in the ecstatic symptoms, it just means that you become basically like lifeless. They become so, I say, the effect of the ecstasy is so great, you don't see any of the life symptoms. You know, like Lord Chaitanya, when he saw Jagannath, he went unconscious, and then, you know, they thought he was dead. You know, but then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya could tell by the super slight movement of air, because he got some cotton wool, but the real fluffy stuff, not the stuff you get in the roll. You know, the real fluffy, the natural stuff. So it's so light that it just, you know, you could see just, you know, single threads, you know, like that. So that's generally what's considered death, because it's you're not doing anything, you're not, you know, like that. Does that make sense? So it's different from sleep. Four kinds of histrionic representation, abhinaya, are gestures, angika, words, vachika, dresses and makeup, aharya, and representation of sattva, sattvika. Yeah, like that, because it's always, sattva is the standard. So you're going to be representing that. That's what you're trying to get. But someone, if they're not, then you see it in the context of. There's going to be someone who's in passion or ignorance, and that'll be in contrasted with the person or individual in sattva. Does that make sense? Yeah, so all that's abhinaya. All that together. The facial expressions, you know, the words, all these different things together. Practice of representation, dharmi. In a dramatic performance is twofold, realistic, loka dharmi, and conventional, natya dharmi. Right, because that's the thing, it's called loka dharmi, because the people think, you know, the more realistic it is, they can do. But in the drama, it can be more dramatic. So that's just natya dharmi. So we would say, here conventional means dramatic. Mm-hmm. And the people's way, then is realistic. Yes. You know, so they try to get so much realism, make it real. But in drama, you don't have to; it can be dramatic, and it gets the same effect and even better. You know, so sometimes you use that. I mean, it's not that it's not used, the loka dharma, but the point is it's not the only way. Somebody would say, "Oh no, it has to be realistic." No, it could be completely overplayed, and it works like that.
Yes, I think this is one objective of the drama, means not to just present the ordinary life.
Yeah, that's the whole point. See, that's the difficulty with those who are coming into the theater from the background of skepticism. Is because they always, nothing works out nicely.
Yes.
You know? And so then the difficulty comes up is that there's no inspiration. The only inspiration is generally the person in the drama, his situation is worse than yours. He's suffering more than you. Therefore, you're in a better state, so you feel good. But it's just removing a little negative. It's not creating any positive that, you know, the moods, the things, what they do and all that is something that you would want to emulate, that you would want to follow. So that's the difficulty, is that, you know, they'll say, oh, we're just being realistic, you know, the others are all unrealistic. The point is you're making a movie to make money, you know, like that. That's the realism, you know, like that. And so that's the difficulty, is that they get all these funny things, they want to express how they feel, but it doesn't mean anybody else wants to hear about how you feel. But they feel, no, what I have to say is important. It says, not necessarily. So that's why they stick to, you know, the aspect of it's about the Lord and the pastimes of the Lord. That will be uplifting. Anything else, you don't know what it's going to be like. You know. Does that make sense? Yeah. And the verbal, bharati, the grand, satvati, the graceful, kaishiki, and the energetic, arabati, are the four styles, ritis. Right. Yeah, because it's going to be, sometimes it's talk, you know, there's a lot of monologue or a lot of talking and all that. Or you'll see the grand, something comes out, it's very big, gestures, very something like that. Graceful, they come out, it's very fine, like this. And then someone's very energetic. Any of these four, you see, will work on the stage. And you see, they're very standard kind of things, you know. Avanti Dakshinatya, O Dharma Gadhi, and Panchal Lamadhyama are the four local usages, pravriti, in a dramatic performance. I guess this will all be covered when we get into the detail. So far, not much is revealed. So, you know, stay tuned. Right? The success, siddhi, in the dramatic performances of two kinds, divine, daiviki, and human, manushi. That means that you're going to be, the success means your absorption in something divine or something, you know, good human quality or something like that. But it should ultimately end in the divine. Right? So the manushi will be important because, you know, we're people. And so then we were inspired by the good qualities, the situations, the good results from good work, like that. Or the bad results from bad work. So the worse the demon, the more you want to see that it works out badly. Right? You know, does that make sense? You know, so after the whole thing, you all come up like this and, you know, so much trouble and all that. And then afterwards, Ram comes up to Ravana and slaps him on the wrist and says, "Now, don't do that again." You know? You know, you expect it a little bit more.
Yes,
like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Especially today.
Yeah, definitely. The musical notes, swaras, such as sadja, rishabha, etc., are seven in number. And they fall into two groups, human, sharira, and instrumental, vainava, from the veena. Right? So veena is the instrument. Right, and so from that, then all the other instruments will expand, right? And then you're going to, yeah.
So Vina Maharaj is not human.
No, Vina means the instrument.
Yes.
The stringed instrument.
But it said there is two groups, human and instrumental. So.
Yeah, the notes means musical notes can be either sung by the human.
Yes.
Or they can be played on the Vina.
Ah, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Like that. You have two. Means it's, you have the vocal itself and you have the instrumental.
Yes.
But they're all using the same seven notes.
Yes.
Like that. Now, in musical instruments, right, in the instrumental, then you have atodya, are of four kinds. Stringed, tata, means the veena, and then that's the main of all the stringed. Covered, avanadha, solid, gana, and hollow, shushira. Among these, the stringed instruments means an instrument with strings. The covered means a drum. The solid, a cymbal. And the hollow, the flute. Right? So this is how they'll know. Because then you can get all the different strings. So it can be strings on, you know, like a veena or by the sitar or, you know, it can be like what do you call it? Esraj or sarod or, you know, you have all these different ways you can do, but they're all stringed. Does that make sense? So how you put the pumpkin, where the gourd is, like that, whether there's more gourds, less gourds, it's on leather, it's not on leather, it's played with a bow, it's not played with a bow.
Yes.
That it has frets, doesn't have frets, but the point is they're all stringed instruments. But, yes?
Well, some musicians, they consider piano being a string instrument. Is that correct?
You can. It's struck. Yeah, you could say it's just a very fancy what are those called? The Kashmiri one. The Kashmiri guy with the very frizzy hair plays one. Yeah.
Santur.
Because it's strings and you hit him with these hammers. They've just worked out the hammers in a different way, that they're soft hammers. They're not so strong. But those, it gives that, they're hard, so they make a different sound. Like before the harpsichord, you know, or the clavicle, then they would pluck the strings like that. A harpsichord specifically, I'm not clavichord, that might be more like a piano, but it's played the other way. Like piano, you play them in line with the strings. Yeah. Well, I think the clavichord, you play them opposite to the strings.
Oh.
It's an older instrument. It's like a square box, and you sit at the side here, and it plays. It's an older thing. So it's just a development, basically, of that. So it's still, yeah, it can be a stringed. You know, because then always, but it's struck as a percussion. But no, it means it has to be, what do you call it? Covered means a drum, so it's not covered. So you can't call it a percussion. But then they call the drum and the cymbals that percussion because of what they're doing. But the point is one's solid and one's covered.
Right.
Well, this is neither solid nor covered. It's strings. You may be hitting the strings, but it's still a stringed instrument. So in that way, it's a stringed instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know, it's just, you can put it together in however different ways you want, but this is how the, you know, Bharata, Brahma has put it together. So it's slightly different than what we're used to. Just like you see in Bhagavatam, when it talks about classification of the animals, you know, the botany and all these kind of things, biology aspects. It talks about the animals that have a solid hoof, a cloven hoof, or have five toes. And that's not how modern generally puts it together. They put it by their stomach or this or that. So elephant would be in the same category with those who have five toes. So you know, cats, dogs, and elephants are in one category. You know, does that make sense? So they wouldn't, you know. So it's just, that's why we'd like to use the Vedic thing, then things become more clear. Songs which relate to dhruvas are of five kinds. Entering, pravesha, casual, akshepa, going out, nishkrama, pleasing, prasadika, and intermediate, antara. Dhruvas are the verses. Like you have a dhruva, and that generally is that you have the verse, and then that verse is what will be sung, because they're not just doing nothing. You see, is that there is that aspect where they're not using words, they're just using the num, tum, that aspect, you know, and that's pleasing to the demons, but then you get to the point of the song, like that, and so it'll be on a dhruva, on a shloka, like that. So, yeah. And the stages of three types, oblong, square, and triangular, right, because depending upon how you have it, it'll be that particular shape. Right? Depending on the theater, then you're using that proportion, and then you're going to end up in these three. Verses 31 to 33, components of rasa. In that connection, I shall first of all explain the mellows, rasa. No poetic meaning proceeds from speech without any kind of rasa. Rasa is produced, rasa nishpati, from a combination of vibhava, anubhava, and vyavichari bhava. Footnote 10. Srila Rupa Goswami defines rasa in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 2.5.132 as follows. That which becomes even more intensely relished in the heart, made bright with ladini and sambit shaktis, attainment of bhava. After surpassing the stage of distinguishing the constituent bhavas, by which becomes more astonishing and bliss than bhava, is called rasa. Right? Because you have all these different bhavas, but then it goes beyond that, that combination of all that together. That becomes rasa. Right? So you're going to have action, and you're going to have a desire, or, you know, a need for some result, you know, or the taste. So that it becomes bright with that, because there's a taste, but if there's an activity, it becomes brighter. Right? If there's a goal, it becomes brighter. Does that make sense? So that's why you can bring it down to the mundane theater, you know, or mundane interaction with people. But the point is that originally is from Krishna, and you see that gives unlimited. So we're going about our own life, and then you add these things in which specifically deal with rasa, and they're trying to bring this out so it technically works. And then that increases our experience, the intensity. And then we think it was very nice. So you can imagine what it is the original pastimes. That's unlimited. So it's just, there's no comparison. Does that make sense? Yeah. You know, it'd be like, you have the kid and he's got this little, you know, it's not very big, you know, it's just kind of small. It's got some wheels on it, kind of it's shaped like some kind of generic car. And he sits down inside and there's little pedals and pedals. So you could call it a car. Does that make sense? And then you have the, you know, Bugatti Chiron, right? So you can't compare. That's why when the persons from the spiritual world come here, there's no taste for them here, right? You know, they interact according to etiquettes and everything, but there's no taste here. So when someone takes up devotional service, then you see the interactions and all that then start to become nice because it's based on devotional service. But there's nothing here. There's no taste. Okay. Does that make sense? You know, if they come from Braj, they're not going to be impressed by a car. Why would they be impressed by a car? Right? Because the last fancy car that came to Vrindavan took Krishna away. They don't like fancy cars. Does that make sense? Yeah. Udriti. Srila Jiva Goswami describes the difference between material rasa and spiritual rasa in Priti Sandarbha, Anucheda 107, as follows. Priti for the Lord, mixed with a special form caused by a special manifestation of causes, vibhava and anubhava, is called Priti Mayi rasa, Bhakti Maya rasa, or Bhakti rasa. Bhava eva Pi sampanna prayanti rasa rupatam. Bhavas endowed with other factors become rasa. Right? So you have the different bhavas. But when other factors are involved, that's where you get the taste. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like you have, let's say you have a drink. You know, it's nice. Or let's say I have a pakora or something, right? It also has a taste. And I have a chutney, and it has a taste. On their own, yes, they're different tastes. I'll just consider them items. But when they're put together, right? And you can put the pakora in the chutney, drink the drink, then you have rasa. Does that make sense? That's the difference. Because the Anubhava, Vibhava, Sattvikabhava, these are items. When they're put together, then there's taste. You know. Yeah, because the point is it's the taste, not that it's an item. Does that make sense? Yes? Oh. Yeah. It's just like, let us say, in the, how you say, celebrity world or that kind of thing. Then there's going to be that somebody notices that this celebrity and that celebrity seem to be having a connection. Right? So now they're called an item. Right? But what's the point of the item is now what taste will get out of them as an item. Does that make sense? Otherwise, they're together, who cares? So unless there's taste. So that's the whole point, is you can have all these different things. Like you have a menu, it has so many things, but that combination together is what makes it nice. That's why they have to match. Right? Does that make sense? So like, let's say we have, okay, let's put together a menu like that. Okay, so we have some karela, sabji, you know, no rice or anything. Let's say we have a pizza like that. We have some really mature kombucha, you know, and then we have some Cheerios.
Can we skip the karela?
It's all part of the meal. The point is How do they go together? What do you eat the Corella with? Nothing. There's nothing there to eat it with. And it doesn't match the other. You have the pizza, okay, you can eat it on its own. Like that. You know what I'm saying? But like that. But yeah. And then the drink is not necessarily the one you would have with that. You would probably want to go for something else. And then Cheerios on its own, how do you eat that? You know, might as well eat the box. You get about the same benefit. So that's the thing. They have to match. You know, so if I say Corella and some rice, you know, and some spinach and like this, then that matches. Does that make sense? You know, if you have some pasta, you have some antipasta, you have a cannoli, you have a nice drink, then it works. You know what I'm saying? You know, or if you have the Cheerios and you have some, what do you call it? Some milk, you know, fruit, some sugar, like that, then it, you know, then it works. You know? Kombucha, I'm not sure how that works, but I think you kind of drink that on its own.
It's not Vedic.
I think it's Central Asian kombucha. I mean, it's a fermented stuff like that. So then, I think it starts over here, it's yogurt, then it turns over there into kombucha, and you go farther north, it turns into sour cabbage. Same principle. You know, something sour is good for your stomach. Okay. Okay. Though material rasikas say that rasa in bhakti is not desirable without the ingredients of rasa. This is in reference to situations where the Vishaya is a material devata or other material person. Ingredients to produce rasa are of three types: suitable of the sarup, suitability of the sarup, suitability of assistance, and suitability of the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right. So, what's the form that's there? What's the assistance that are there, and what's the audience that's seeing that?
Yes.
Right. Like, let's say, yeah. In material rasa, the sthayi, such as rati, is the suitable sarup, since it is the form of the sai bhava, and it is synonymous with happiness. In priti for the Lord, however, the sthayi bhava produces more happiness than the ocean of happiness of Brahman with unlimited waves of happiness. Right? So it's the same principle. They're starting off there, but they don't understand that taste comes with Krishna. So you won't actually call the material taste. But it mechanically works the same. Causes and effects are the assistants, but cannot on their own act as vibhava, etc., since they are commonplace. You have causes and effects, so unless there is the sarup, unless there's the sthayi bhava, what does it matter? It means you have a situation. Some way the particular sthayi bhava comes into that situation, they become inspired or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, let's say, you go into the mall, right? And it's a fancy mall, right? But on the side in one area, there's, a sandbox. There's one of those little dinky swings, those little dinky ones, a little slide and things like that. And so if you have the sthayi bhava for, let's say, some jewelry, are you going to stop there? No. But you're bringing the kid along. They want to stop there, right? Because they have the sthayi for that. Well, the adult doesn't, right? But if there's the thing for the child, okay, something for the child to do, they've had a bit of a drive and all that, then in that, the style of the child, now this is a good situation because the child can play like that, then they won't mind when you go to the jewelry shop.
Yes.
You understand? So there has to be the suitability. Yeah, and when you go to that little play area like that, and if everybody standing around there, you know, reminds you, it means you notice that they all have that, very hairy, their hair is bright orange, they have these huge kind of fangs coming out, their eyes are red, then you might think, well, these are the wrong associates, you know, the assistants for this playing field. Like that. Yeah. Well, what you understand, but later you understand that they weren't actually assistants. They saw the play area. They were hungry. They came there for the kids, like that. So, like that. So you coming there is very favorable. Like that. Yeah.
A different perspective.
Yes, different perspectives. So. However, by the skill of good poet, they can become unusual and become suitable. In the poetic work, they are shown to be remarkable in form and are attractive. You know, so something's brought out. That's the whole point in drama, is you can make that attractive.
Yes.
So that's the thing, is if you want to be real, everything's boring. Everything's just ordinary. There is nothing special. You know? So it's only because of the dramatic that people think that there's something special. So therefore, if you take that and put that together in the dramatic, then that's the whole, that's the art of the poet. But then to, then having done all that, then destroy everything. You bring the boy and girl together, and then at the end, she dies. Like that. That's not how you're supposed to arrange the drama. Right? Does that make sense? We're, you know, we're not singling out La Boheme here, but if the shoe fits. No? Yes. Suitability of person, audience hearing the work, means having a mentality similar to Prahlad and others. Without that suitability of the audience, even material poetry cannot be considered accomplished. Right? So if there's not someone there to hear it, what's the point? You know, it's just like you were saying before, is you had the peacock, and it's there and it's dancing. But if nobody's watching, what's the point of the dance? Like that. So you're sitting there and you're watching the peacock, you know, because peacock over the feather starts dancing. You're watching like that. But then you hear a sound somewhere else. You look away. Immediately they whack you with their feathers. It's kind of like, no, don't look away. I'm dancing here. You know? Then, okay, yeah. Then you're watching and then they... So as long as you're paying attention, they feel okay. That it's worth their effort.
Because they are fully aware.
Fully aware. Fully aware. Just like that. You can't look away. You know, and if it's the same old guy that came yesterday, they're not going to dance because he's not going to care. So, like that. Pious persons, like yogis, perceive rasa. Sahitya Darpana 3.3.2. The taste will not arise without mental impressions of rati and other factors in the hearer. Sahitya Darpana 3.8. So if there's no mental impressions in that context, it won't mean anything to him. So that means you have to have the right audience for the right drama. But if it's about the Lord, that has a universal aspect. Right? Already there. And then you throw in, like we said, the conjugal, the vira, and these things, and these eight. Then that makes it so generally all audiences will find something that they appreciate. Arousal of material rasa, its surup and method of taste are described. Continual, self-manifesting, blissful, conscious rasa is tasted by strong sattva. Rasa is devoid of even a trace of awareness of other things, and is the assistant in tasting Brahman. Its very life is great astonishment. It is experienced by some observers as non-different from the self, as if it were one's own nature. Sahitya Dharmapada 3.2. Right? Assistant in tasting Brahman, because they taste the eternal. That's the whole idea. So they're knowing that that taste you're getting is coming from Brahman. Because Brahman's eternal. It's unlimited. And so when you get a strong taste, you're touching that aspect of Brahman. Because everything's based on Brahman, so therefore you're tasting that aspect. So that's the whole point is, but that taste being here, you're just connecting it with the material, it's limited. You understand it's the Brahman, it's greater. You understand Brahman is coming from Krishna, and that then it becomes greater. When you forget about all these things and just focus on Krishna, that's the greatest.
Yes.
Is that...
So everybody is looking for taste.
Everyone's looking... Nothing is done without taste. That's the thing. No one does anything unless there's a taste. Right? So there is something just like, why are you on time to work? Because you don't want the taste of ghastliness when the boss gets on your case or the supervisor. time. Yeah, so they see it, and they see it's themselves. Their taste is them, and so then they identify with it, and then they think they're experiencing this and all that. So then in the drama, they're just bringing that out. But you notice it's coming from sattva. It's only when you use these higher qualities and all that that you really get the taste. Right? Because you have to mechanically deal with the energy properly to get the proper taste. And something's done according to the sattvic direction, it gets you a proper result. Even if you're doing something wrong, you still have to follow the right directions. Just like the slave, the thief, is going to go into the house and steal. He still has to open the door. He can't go through the brick wall. Like that. He has to open the door. So that means that he has to deal with the lock, this and that. He still has to follow the proper channels. But he's using it for improper. So that's why they say the sattva. The person may not be in sattva, but they still have to follow the technique if they're going to get the result. Real rasa is caused by spiritual vishuddha sattva. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabditam. Pure sattva is called vasudeva. It is shown that this sattva is spiritual in Bhagavat Sandarbha. Right. This spiritual rasa is superior to the taste of Brahman attained from material rasa. Right? So material rasa can you can get a taste of Brahman. From those tastes that you got from the material, by material endeavor, right? You know, something in money or some relationship or some other whatever taste, you strive for that in karma. But then with time, you start to see that the amount that you get that taste and the amount of work you put in, and even you get the taste in all so many situations, then reduce the experience. Then you start to become pessimistic. So you want to give that up and go straight for the source, which is Brahman. You don't necessarily know the two are connected. But here it's pointing out, Sahitya Darpan, it's on aesthetics. And so, therefore, it's knowing this. That's why this can be quoted, because they have that understanding. So then they just want to go and taste Brahman all the time. But what they don't know is Brahman is coming from Krishna. That's just the impersonal feature of Krishna. So if the impersonal is so great, what about the person? Right? So, positive, we're trying after the personal, connected with Brahman. When that doesn't work for us, then we go after the impersonal connected with Brahman, which is negative now. So wouldn't the natural original positive, which connected with the original person, then that would give the highest taste? Yeah? No?
For Maharaj, we can say that the success of a drama is when the audience is changing his perspective.
Yes, they're going to, in any case, from their case, come up, and they're going to be, as I mentioned, the Manusha and the Daiva.
Yes.
Whether they're tasting just the qualities on that level or up to the Daiva level.
Yes.
You know, and from Daiva, that means for us, Krishna.
Yes.
But at least they get to something higher.
Yes.
You know, so then, you know, the Lord is performing his pastimes with the demigods, like, say, churning the milk ocean, that first drama. So some might just relate only with the demigods, but not necessarily. Vishnu's part of the demigods, or like this, or the demons, they relate there. Yeah. You know, so everybody's enjoying themselves. Vaishnavas are happy, so everybody's happy. Like that. So, yeah. The bliss for your servant available from meditating on your lotus feet, or from hearing about your pastimes from the devotees, is not available in your form of greatness known as Brahman. What to speak of the happiness for those who fall from the pleasures of Swarga? Srimad Bhagavatam 4.9.10. Right? So in other words, what about people here? Because that's what we're dealing with here. We're not up on Swarga preaching. So falling from the pleasures of Swarga down to here, then, because you fall from Swarga, you come here. Like that. So means persons who have realized you do not regard attainment of a personal liberation as your mercy. What to speak of attaining a material position like Indra, which is subject to fear caused by the Lord raising his eyebrow? Right. So the Brahman, that's not his mercy, let alone something lower like becoming a great devata and having so many facilities and authority. But just by the lifting of the Lord's eyebrow, then there can be so much fear. O Lord, those devotees surrender to your lotus feet. Our expert knowers of rasa derive from narrations about your fame, which should be chanted and which purify everyone like a tirtha. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-48. So in other words, as I mentioned before, you won't leave this tirtha, the Lord's lotus feet, to go to another tirtha where you heard about some great king and he's taking a bath over there, so let me go take bath there. It means the taste will never be the same. Is that okay, these are the quotes within. Okay, so it's continuing. It is superior to material rasa in astonishment. Right? So what he's pointing out is that this is rasa, this is how it's working. They're using it here in the drama, but you're supposed to use it to generate transcendental rasa. Does that make sense? Otherwise, then you just learn this technique and then you get absorbed in mundane rasa and then you won't be satisfied, so you'll get more and more mundane and then you'll end up, you know, doing the demon stuff. Right? There's let's say modern theater, it's just about mundane things going on. It may have a good ending, may not have a good ending, you know, like that. And then the musicians, do they ever sing a song? No, they just play you know, the music. So then it's not actually meant for the devatas, right? Because you're not actually bringing out that sattvic element. So you have to bring it towards the sattva. Sattva means doing your duties. That's the devata element. Then the perfection of that is these duties in the Lord's service. So one should, you know, clearly understand this is how drama works. This is the mechanics, but it's supposed to be used in Krishna's service. Okay? Krishna, it is superior to material rasa and astonishment. Krishna possesses that form suitable for human pastimes, to show the full capacity of his yoga maya. That form astonishes even the Lord of Vaikuntha. It is the pinnacle of auspicious qualities and enhances the beauty of his ornaments. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:2-12, right? So it's even greater. So what's connected with Krishna is even more, has more astonishment, because we see astonishment as one of the eight rasas, right? Moreover, this rasa is proved by the opinions of ancient knowers of spiritual rasa. It is shown generally by the author of Bhagavan Nama Kaumudi. Sridhar Swami has shown these rasas to be five in the commentary of Malanam Asanir, Srimad Bhagavatam 10:43-17. That of the women was Shringara. The coward boys had Preo Rasa with Sakya Stai with Hasya, or joking. His parents had Vatsalya Rasa with Vatsalya Stai along with compassion, Daya. The yogis had Shanta Rasa filled with Jnana Bhakti. The Vrishnis had Bhakti Maya Rasi, Dasya. Other men had Samanya Priti Maya Rasa. Right, so in this way, then all your different rasas become connected within these five. So he's showing that five are actually the thing. But they all have their place. And so the central is going to be, like Vrindavan, what's the central feature? Right? It's Radha and Krishna. Then all the other rasas come in and play their supporting role. And then create so much nice taste, like that. So that's what you're going to see. You know, in Vaikuntha, he's the Supreme Lord, he's God, the Majesty, and that, but he's with Lakshmi. Right? So that aspect is important. Right? And in Ramayana, he's with Sita. Like that. Dwarka is the queens. You know, and then Vera, they go and they're in the assembly and they do their, you know, things. But in theirs, you just hear them, you know, okay, who's going to clean the roads this week? Is that what Bhagavatam is talking about? No, they're talking about some grand work, some great thing, you know, some sattvic activity, you know, that takes great, you know, great chivalry and strength and like that. Or you know, the pathos of those kings that are being, you know, how you say, captured by and suffering at the hands of Jarasandha. So you hear that, and then how, you know, the valor of the king standing up, and we have to do something here. You know, so these, that's what creates all the taste. Narad condemns material rasa while praising spiritual rasa. Works whose attractive verses do not sing at all the glories of the Lord, which purify not only the author but the whole world, are considered by the devotees who have captured the mind of the Lord to be the place for crows, in which swans living in pleasant lakes take no enjoyment at all. Like, you never see a swan in a garbage pile. You just know. The use of words in which, though not perfectly composed, there are the names of the Lord and descriptions of his glories, which devotees hear, sing, and again receive, destroys the sin of all people. Like that. Yeah, so Prabhupada puts that. I think he puts this verse at the beginning of every Bhagavatam. Sri Rukmini Devi says, a woman who fails to relish the fragrance of the honey of your lotus feet becomes totally befooled, and thus she accepts as her husband or lover a living corpse covered with skin, whiskers, nails, head hair, and bodily hair, and filled with flesh, bones, blood, parasites, feces, mucus, bile, and air. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:60-45. Yeah, so when you see when they describe the ladies in this way, it's not very pleasant. But when you describe the men in this way, it's really bad. Sorry?
In kind of Rasabas Bhagavatam, there was the example of disgust and conjugalness.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Marie, so all this citation, yeah, quotation of Bhagavatam, and actually it seems that when we study by a little thematic like that, It's the Bhagavatam is speaking already about all these things.
Already,
it's difficult to catch when we read.
Yeah.
The first time. Or
but it's all that. That's the point. Is what I said before. Prabhu was giving. There's only one topic. You know, just like you said, there's one topic that's about Krishna. Yes. Then there's 10 topics in Bhagavatam, but the other 9 are described as one topic. Yes. So in the same way, is that all these apara vidyas that are there, like here, theater and this, everything's there. If you understand this, you'll see everything that's written is all written in this style. That's also another way that the scholars may not appreciate it, because they don't necessarily appreciate drama. They consider it something for the common mass of people, while we intellectuals sit around in our armchairs and, you know, how you say, warm the cushion, you know, like that. Burn up calories by thinking, you know, like that. So they don't necessarily. And then you have those who do, but a lot of times you don't. They don't see the need. Or if they go there, it's nice. They just see the main points. They don't catch the fine point. But everything is there in that. Just like how, like we hear how like Dwarka's built, or Mathura, or how Indraprastha, or any things like this. That's all according to Vastu. You know, so the Silpa Shastras and all that, the Stapana Veda, all that, how the city's laid out and all that. Like sometimes you hear the story, how we were saying before, is that the Brahmin came, you know, to the palace and was making his complaint that his children are either dying or disappearing or something. And how is it, or the thing about how the dacoit stole all his cows. But the point is if you understand Vastu, you understand there's roads, and there's a specific place you can come to within the palace grounds. Like, in other words, the palace will have an area, there'll be a courtyard that's connected to the palace that you can go into to directly have audience with the king or, you know, some authority. But there are guards there, so as long as you look like be bona fide, you can go in. You know, it's not that if you walk in fully wired up and all that, that they'll go, you know, okay, yeah, no, you know, they're like, so there's going to be that, and you don't get out if you came and bothered the king. In other words, if your question was not good, if it was an appropriate question, then you walk out, and if you don't, then, you know, you might have to visit some other authorities while they tell you this is not how you use this place. But, you know, so then, you know, Vastu, you know, that's why that's happening. Otherwise, you just say, yeah, they came to the king. Where did they come? That's there, because it didn't say he went to the court. The court, then you go in another thing, go in, and then the king's there with all the ministers, and then they hear your case. But this is something that's outside of that. You just go and you can hear it another time. Because in the morning they'll be in court. You'd go there. But if it's later in the day, then he's not in court. You would go to this other place. You know. So so then by Vastu you know these things. And then Dhanurveda, then you know all the things. So when we hear about the battles, you know what Krishna's fighting and others and all that, Dhanurveda will explain all that. So someone who understands all the culture will you know that are there, all the religious aspects, will then appreciate how the Paravidya is written, but in a style that engages all the Aparavidya. So all the indirect aspects are all engaged in the service of the direct. And that's what enhances, that's what gives the taste. There's all these various ingredients. But we don't necessarily know. So that's the other aspect, this, the idea of the Chaitanya Upanayanam. Then you can appreciate all these things. But it's important, as we see, as the Acharyas are pointing out, you can't just study theater on its own. You have to study it in context of how it connects to Krishna. Otherwise, so many people study theater and they can't see how it connects to Krishna. Okay, if you do a drama on Krishna, that's, they don't understand that the whole thing of rasa, everything you're using is coming from Krishna's pastimes. Right? So therefore then, you know, there's going to be a problem, like it mentioned, you know, Krishna's neglectful, then the gopis become angry. You know, and then anger, how do you show that? What are the facial expressions? What are the arms? What's the stance? What are the feet doing? Where do you stand? You know, it's just like they don't stand next to Krishna, they move away and express their anger. You know. So that's the thing is you have to see the balance there. So all that's there. So so one would think, oh no, but you study all these things, it's so academic and all that. We would just want to study the rasa and get the taste. But appreciating all these, you see more of what's going on. You see more of the taste of what's going on. Because that's why the acharyas know all this and then write all based on these things. So that's why how they approach it is so much better than anyone else. Like that. And you may say, oh, but you know, Jiva Goswami is just saying a few things here. But this is the connection. Right? And then seeing that connection, and then Rupa Goswami, you know, and that connection, then you can appreciate what Bharat Muni says. Otherwise, on its own, you study Bharat Muni and how many thespians, you know, in India are all devotees. Not very many. But, yeah. Thus, one should not have faith that material vibhavas, etc., can generate rasa. In generating rasa, it produces vibhatsa, disgust, in all cases. Right? So it's only when it's connected to the Lord does it actually produce rasa. These others, it's all within these, you know, you think it's a great taste, but the others don't. You know, it's like the kids are sitting there in the mud and having a great time, and the parents are, oh my God, what happened? You know? Or they're mixing things together to eat, and you're thinking, no, you don't. They make the weirdest things to drink or eat. You know, so yeah. So that's the whole point, is that it appears that it's, you know, something nice, but it's not. No? Yeah. Spiritual rasa directed to the Lord, however, is possible for all. Starting with the materialist and ending with the liberated person. So if the rasa is about Krishna, everybody can taste it. But if it's not about Krishna, then basically it means any of the liberated, they're not going to appreciate it. The devotees won't really appreciate it. And the materialist, if it's within their particular area of interest, then they'll find it. That's why you have all the different genres. But in devotional service, you just have it's about Krishna. Yeah. And it works for everybody. But on the material platform, one particular genre someone else doesn't want, isn't interested in. You know, some sense. Yeah. And even for objects with no senses and no consciousness, since they all undergo ecstatic transformation. Oh, so even them. Okay. So even the objects with no sense, no consciousness, they all undergo ecstatic transformations when it's all about Krishna. Thus, the conclusion of all the scriptures is that priti for the Lord is the highest rasa. So one should endeavor for that. But you can make the drama, make it all nice, make it in such a way, and then everybody will appreciate it. Like Srila Prabhupada has mentioned, when he was young, then they did this drama. And they performed it 4 or 5 times in different places in Calcutta because it became very renowned. But it's not. He didn't say that, you know, we were only playing to venues of devotees. So it means everybody appreciated it. And it was about, you know, Lord Chaitanya and his pastimes. Okay. End of Jiva Goswami's description on rasa. Just as the effectuation of a relishment, just effectuation of a relishment occurs from the combination of various vegetables. It's a fancy way of describing food, right? Herbs and other edibles, or eatables in this case, I would think. Similarly, the effectuation of rasa occurs from the arrival of various bhavas. And just as the tastes, such as a dessert and side dishes, are brought about by means of eatables, such as sugar, and by means of condiments, herbs, and seasoning, so a sthayi bhava, which has acquired various bhavas, reaches the state of rasa. Someone might wonder, what is the meaning of the word rasa? A rasa is so called because it is relished. Footnote 11. This is translation of verse 32 is given by Sri Baladeva Vibhushan in Sahitya Kalmudi. Right, so they'll quote from here because he's trying to explain it to the materialists who have no idea what's going on. You know, and in this way then we can get an idea of what's happening. Right? So he's explaining these things. And so because it's already explained here, then the acharyas will just quote from these because he's the authority, he's heard from Brahma. So therefore, when it comes to these things, they'll explain. But they'll take it through to showing how it's connected with Vasudeva. Right? Does that make sense? How is rasa tasted? Just as well-disposed persons, while eating food cooked with many kinds of spice, enjoy ashvadayati, its tastes, and attain pleasure and satisfaction, so the cultured people, possessors of the sthayi bhava, taste the rasa, represented by an expression of the various anubhavas with words, gestures, and the sattva, and derive pleasure and satisfaction. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Make that. So all these things put together, then that combination, then you get a taste. Yes. But it has to. It's from something that you already have an experience with. But the point is his perfection is in Krishna. So when that's there, then those tastes that you have connect to Krishna. Then you start to see those tastes in that Krishna conscious light. Otherwise, then you just see it in another way, of another material way of looking at it. Udriti. In this verse, Bharat Muni states that one can taste rasa only when one has developed a particular sthayi bhava. This is explained by Srila Rupa Goswami, Bhakti Rasamrita 2.5.1.13, as follows. That which the wise person who has dedicated intelligence only to the Lord experiences in the heart, which realizes Vibhava and the other elements as separate entities through deep impressions of previous bhakti, is called bhava. Oh, I see. His intelligence only to the Lord. Okay. Not his intelligence only. Okay. That which the wise person who has dedicated his intelligence only to the Lord experiences in heart. Oh well. Yes. We will stop here. Because now we have Baladeva Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives a purport on this, so we'll understand it tomorrow. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.